Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus, his first coming to the earth. Advent means coming, and we sit here today looking forward to his second coming. The first Sunday, we celebrated the prophets and the hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that spoke and have been fulfilled, so many of them, in his first coming, in detail. The second Sunday was the angel candle. We saw how angels there as messengers of the Lord announced the coming of Jesus, the miraculous things that took place, and how involved they were. And yes, I do believe when there was that chorus of angels that came there, I do believe they were singing. Last week we lighted the third candle of Advent, which is the shepherd's candle. We saw how the shepherds represented that they were the everyman of the day, and in the simplicity of their faith came and worshiped the Messiah, the long-expected Messiah. Today, the fourth and last Sunday of Advent, we light the Magi candle. And as we do this, there are a lot of presuppositions about the Magi and about who they were. Where did they come from? How did they get there? How did they make the trip? Well, let me read you the story from Matthew chapter 2 that records their coming. The scripture says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he trembled and was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi, and he determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." I want to stretch your imagination for just a couple of minutes about the Magi. These were not just three guys with a couple of servants who came. We're talking about a group probably of several hundred people that came. A large entourage. You didn't travel in those days, particularly people of means, that far with any less. Now, who were they? Well, the word magi, it comes from the Greek there, the Greek language is what the New Testament was written in. It calls them the magoi. it's a transliterated word from the Persian language. It was a, which referred to a sect of philosopher, priest, astrologers. He put it all together. Now, I know traditionally we have called them by these names, Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. Those names didn't come about until the 14th century. And in fact, it's very ancient. A lot of the lore that goes back about the Magi goes back even to the 4th century. But that's pretty much what it is. We need to look in the Word and see what does the Word have to say. Historically, you can see that this sect, this group, they were kind of like kingmakers over in Persia, which is where they probably came from. And part of the Medo-Persian Empire. Now hang in here with me. Can you think of someone else that had spent some time over there in that part of the world centuries earlier? That's where the Babylonian captivity took place. Babylon was taken over by the Medo-Persians. And in fact, Daniel, one of the Hebrew children, you know, his Babylonian name was Belteshazzar. Several scriptures in the book of Daniel refer to him as the Rob Mag. The Rob Mag. The chief of the Magi in that time. So there in the court of the king, in fact, Darius the Mede and Darius the Great, he refers to these counselors who were kind of like astrologers in the court. They watched the stars, they interpreted things. Well, I believe personally, as I've done quite a bit of study on this, and others would agree with me on this, that began, that connection with these guys began right there in that court. And it's the descendants of this group that had been watching for years for this Messiah. You look at all of what Daniel, and you're reading the book of Daniel, and he gives us prophecies about a coming Messiah. I believe these guys were descendants of those and had been looking forward to this Jewish Messiah, this Jewish king that would come. They had been expecting that. And in fact, in their culture, they were the king makers. It's no wonder then when they show up with their entourage, and by the way, they were part of the, at this time you had the Parthian Empire that stretched out. And you remember Herod, when he was appointed by the Romans to come there to be the king in that area, it took him 2 years before he could show up, and that was for his safety. He was worried about that because the Parthians had such an influence in that age. So he has a tentative position as a king at best when they show up. So when all these guys show up, no wonder he's troubled. No wonder he's thinking all this, because he's a student of history also, and he knows the influence of the Parthian Empire. And you start putting together that all this stuff in Scripture, it fits together. I believe Daniel had shared, well, we read it. There, as the Lord mapped out how history was going to take place, they had studied with Daniel. He had been influencing them. They see the star. We've seen his star. Now here's something interesting about that. They saw his star. They were expecting a sign. We missed that. They were looking for a sign about the Jewish Messiah. They were expecting that. You say, well, how could that be? Well, go back several hundred years and you see as they were carrying that on. So when they show up that day, their fulfillment of a prophetic vision from Daniel himself. Now, we traditionally see them as being three because they brought three gifts. They brought what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were representative of the three offices that Jesus would fulfill. Gold being a king, his kingly nature. Frankincense, you think of the incense, you think of his priestly office. But how about myrrh? Myrrh is something that you use when you embalm someone for burial. Also prophetic of Jesus, that he would die in our place. In fact, there in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, it talks about the Messiah being cut off, that he would die. So, what's so important about this? What's so important about the Magi? It is God bringing together the whole story, the whole Advent story. The prophets, the angels, the shepherds. You know, we got the down and outs, with the Magi, we got the up and outs, you know. And in the whole story, we've got the over and outs. We've got everybody that's in the story that he's bringing together. It is a worldwide story. And it's a story and a salvation for everybody. Jesus the Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, he has come for all mankind. Now, how about for you? As you look at the story, can you not see history again unfolding prophetically in your eyes right now with what's going on in the world? Can't you see the Lord fulfilling prophecy before our very eyes? As God put the evidence together in that story with the Magi, can't you see Him putting together the evidence for Jesus in our day? Look at all the signs that accompanied the Magi. We saw your star, that miraculous star, and all the other signs, and they followed those signs. Can we do any less as we follow the signs that God gives to us? This is a part of the story we miss. The Lord spoke to them. He spoke to them over in Persia. He revealed himself to them over there. And he revealed himself to them when they came to Galilee. When they came to that part of the world and they came to Judea. He spoke personally to them. In each one of these candles that we have lit for Advent, we have seen God speaking personally. He has a word for you, and it's a word of encouragement. It's a word of the power of God for your life. The whole Christmas story is about God becoming a man. Why did He do that? Because He loves us. And we need Him. We have to have Him. There Herod had the Messiah right under his nose. and yet he rejected him. Even Herod, as his counselors read the scripture and found out exactly where this Messiah would be born. That's how the Magi then went to Bethlehem. They just read the Bible. I've read the Bible to you today. I hope you receive its truth.